Well, often we would have, in January, gone through the Psalms and undertaken Psalms throughout January, but this year we're doing Proverbs. Many of them are pithy sayings, other is advice to sons, and there's a whole lot of wisdom in the Proverbs. I remember when I was at Bible college, in the second year I was there, I started reading one chapter of Proverbs a day. So in a month, I could get through all of the Proverbs, and I'll come back to it later. But that really helped me think about some things that needed to change within my life. And the Proverbs were a bit of a prod or an instigator for me to do that. I actually want to encourage you all through January to make a great start in your spiritual life and read one chapter of Proverbs a day for January. You'll get through the whole book of Proverbs. And if you have ears to hear and eyes to see and your heart's open, there'll be plenty of things in there that the Lord prods you with, like he will me. So I do want to encourage you all to do that and to take up the book of Proverbs and have a look. If you do that, you'll find that multiple times throughout this book, it talks about a phrase. I'm going to get to that phrase in a moment, but first I want you to answer in your own mind two questions, thinking, oh, I'm going to tell the person around me what these answers are. Hopefully you're willing to. If you're not, you can just say pass. But here are the two questions. Who is someone in your life that you greatly respect? And the other question is, what is something you are afraid of? So who is someone you greatly respect? And what is something you are afraid of? All right, I want to hear some chitter chatter. Go for it. Oh, hello. So, who are some of the people that you respect? If you're willing, anyone prepared to yell out someone that they respected? Your dad. Who said that? Was that you, Josiah, or Patrick? No, it was Aaron. It was Aaron. Andre, you've scored. Any others? Your wife. Oh, look out. People in Papua New Guinea you've known for...
Well, they were in Papua New Guinea for 35 and 33 years.
Yep.
And I greatly respect
them. They're
back in Australia.
One more respect.
Karen.
Karen. Awesome. Well, and what are some of the things that you are afraid of? Being asked public questions. Now, what are some things you're afraid of?
Getting old.
Getting old.
The unrest in the world at the moment.
Unrest in the world.
Spiders.
Spiders. Shark. Did you say sharks?
Goats.
Goats, fair enough. Yep. Well, I'm afraid of sharks. And so with sharks or with things that you're afraid of, there's generally this dread. It's a dread. But when you think about respecting someone, there's this holding in esteem. And I bring up this both dread, fear, and esteem because both of those have a sense of what I'm about to talk about next, but they don't explain the whole thing if you were to go either right to fear and dread or right to just respect only. Respect would be too light, dread would be too heavy. And in the book of Proverbs, this phrase that you would have if you read it a bit, it is called the fear of the Lord. So you might not be able to read that very well. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says in Proverbs. and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So as we go through the book of Proverbs, you'll often read about the fear of the Lord. Now, it's not dread as if, like for instance, we've got electricity all around us and we should be afraid of electricity, shouldn't we? We should. But no one here is dreading it at the moment, are you? We need to respect electricity and use it. And as we do, it will help our life flourish. And as we think about the fear of the Lord, it's not dread, but it's not just respect. It's probably more awe. So a right respect and cautiousness and listening to. That's the fear of the Lord. And as this proverb says, that's the beginning of wisdom. So as we start our year this year, as we go through the book of Proverbs as well, I pray that each of us will seek God out, that will fear him, knowing that he is the one who's made us. He's made heaven and earth. He holds all things together. That we'll respect him as the greatest one who is the most glorious ever. And that we'll hold him in awe. As we do that, then other things will fall in line. So in Proverbs, if you feared the Lord, then you would be wise and not a fool. You would not be a sluggard, but you would be more like an ant, which I'll get to that a little bit more later. If you feared the Lord, you would have a hatred of evil. This is another one of the passages within the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil are perverted speech, and perverted speech I hate. So as you fear the Lord, as you respect and honour him, then you'll also hate the things that he hates and take his ways serious. Also, if you fear the Lord, it will give you a great perspective on what is important in life. Could we have the next slide, Matt? Thanks. So Proverbs 15 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord, i.e. living his way, than treasure and trouble in it. So treasure, things will not actually make your life awesome. There's no guarantee that stuff will make your life awesome. But the fear of the Lord will give you balance that will set your life on the right path. Now, fearing the Lord doesn't mean that your life will be without problems, that your life will just be all rosy roses. But it will mean that you're on the right path and you'll have his blessing. There's one other thing that the fear of the Lord will help us all to have. Quick, the next slide. Thanks, Matt. Is it'll help us to not be wise in our own eyes. But if we fear the Lord, we'll turn away from evil. I don't know about you, but we have the tendency, and I do, to think of myself better than what I actually am. I remember one of my friends quoting back to me something that I said at a time when I was totally wrong, and I had said, I only ever comment when I know I'm right. This was many years ago. I'm much more wiser now. If I had feared the Lord a bit more and were a bit more humble with my own estimation of myself, things would have gone a lot better. But we do tend to think of ourselves as wise. As we do that, we tend to set ourselves up as the one who knows everything. We tend to become the boss of things in our own life. But if we fear the Lord, we'll put his things above our own. We'll consider his wisdom better than our own. And then we would be truly wise. If we make ourselves out to be wise, we may end up like this person in the parable we're about to have. Can we have the Bible verse? Thanks, Matt. No, it's not going to work. The parable goes like this. No, I'm going to read it. It's gone out of my head. It's from Luke chapter 16. No, it's not. It's 18. From verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, I know this parable is talking about being self-righteous before God, but often when you think you are wise, you think your way is right, then you're more likely to be self-justified and self-righteous. But actually, the correct estimation of ourselves is we don't know that much, that God is the wise one and we need him. The person, the tax collector in this story, is the one that Jesus wants us to emulate, knowing that we need mercy, knowing that we also need God's wisdom and not to rely on our own. So just as I wind up the story today, I actually want to tap back into the Proverbs that Susan read out to us. And there was a particular part in chapter 6 that stood out to me when I was at Bible college. You see, when I first started Bible college, I was pretty good at sleeping. And this was in 1996, I went to Bible college, so I was 19 years old. I excelled at sleeping, playing table tennis, and I would come back home to Bendigo on Thursday and go back to Bible college on Monday, do no homework. I really did not much. How do you reckon my study went? I was getting 50s. And then I ended up failing an assignment. I totally misread the question and I failed an assignment. And it was at that point that I committed to reading Proverbs, one chapter of Proverbs a day, one psalm, and a chapter from each Old and New Testament. And as I went through these Proverbs, I started to read some wonderful things about the lazy person. But they weren't, didn't normally phrase it as the lazy person at that time. They labelled it as the sluggard. Can you have, now go to the pit, there should be a picture. Yeah. That represented me pretty well at that point. And it was really interesting that these proverbs actually, they talk to things in our life that many of us will can identify with. Sometimes it's things like this. Other times it's whether you're loving possessions too much. Other times it's if you're not keeping your word. There's a whole lot of things that could challenge us, and that just if we listen to the wisdom that was in the Proverbs, our life would be on a better trajectory. It would be on one that was fearing the Lord rather than going our own way. So in chapter 6, it says this beautiful thing, as I identified with the slug. It said, go to the ant, you sluggard. Can you go to the next picture? The next picture actually is a whole lot of ants. Look to the ant, you sluggard. Why? Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? Interesting questions for a then 20-year-old. And I'm like, yes, Lord. I don't want to be like that anymore, like the sluggard. I actually want to take that example of the ant and be much more productive in life. And so as I brought this wisdom, or it was knowledge and turned into wisdom when I started to listen to it, as I asked God to help me, then things in my life started to get a little more productive because I was being more like an ant. And as you read through the Proverbs, I pray whatever it is that God wants to put his finger on in your life, that it will burst out at you like this one did to me. Now, as I finish, I want to talk about something that's of utmost importance. See, I've talked about being a sluggard or an ant at Bible college, and that's really about doing reading and assignments and all sorts of things like that. But sometimes in our spiritual life, we can be more like a sluggard than the ants. And our spiritual life is the most important aspect of our life that will hold the rest of our life in its right place. And so I want to encourage all of us that if we're being more like a sluggard than an ant in our spiritual life, that we will say, Lord, please help me be diligent. Help me be productive in my spiritual life. Help me be effective and help me go about it with purpose this year. That'll not only benefit you, your family, your neighbours, your work, it will benefit the whole world. So let me pray for us all. Heavenly Father, please help us this year to fear you and to follow you as best we can, knowing full well that we are not made righteous by ourselves, but by what you have done. And help us to take serious and be diligent with the gifts you've given us in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.